Chapter 84. Dorian was meeting with his generals in the afternoon, when he felt the first twinges of madness rising. "Enough," he said, interrupting General Naga's report. "Here's what I want. Make sure our defensive positions are impregnable. I don't want them to even try us. Let them see our strength. In the meantime, I need better intelligence on Moburu's numbers. We know he has 2,000 Krull. How many men does he have? And where the hell is..." A vision flashed before Dorian's eyes of Kali herself, rising from the ground, perfect, whole, beautiful, embodied, and smiling victoriously. The room had disappeared, and only she remained, potent, a black ocean of Krull rising around her. "And where the hell is Nefdada?" he heard a voice say. Though he couldn't see the speaker, he knew it must be Janine. "His Holiness demands you find out. He'll expect your report this evening. For now, begone." Dorian blinked, and the vision was gone. General Naga turned back as he reached the flap of the tent. He seemed reassured to find Dorian meeting his eye. "The Queen speaks with my voice," Dorian said. "Is that a problem, General?"
"Of course not, Your Holiness. I will report when we get word."
He bowed deeply and left. When the last of them was gone, Dorian let out a long breath. Janine took his hand and he sat.
"I need to use it,"
Dorian said.
"Every time you do, it's harder to stop," Janine said.
She was right, but with so many armies in close proximity, Dorian needed to use his gift to make sure he didn't trigger a cataclysm. He'd done everything he knew to do militarily to discourage the Cenarians from attacking, but with Nef's men and Moburu's nearby, there were too many factors at play for him to not try to see the futures down the roads before him. He'd studied his gift with a healer's eyes, and he thought he understood why prophecy seemed easier to begin and harder to stop now. The Veer had broken open new channels everywhere throughout his talent, and it had penetrated his prophetic gift too. All his magic, and now all his prophecies, passed through the tentacles of Veer rather than their natural channels. Because the Veer was thicker, everything passed more freely. It was quite possible that the Veer, tainted itself, was tainting Dorian's gift with bizarre visions like those he'd had of the strangers and his wife pregnant with twins. But there was no help for it now. He would stop using the Veer and only use the talent. After this,
"I love you," he said.
"I love you too," she answered.
She had a quill and parchment to write down anything he said in case he couldn't remember it afterward. Then he dove in. He tried to hold on to enough of himself to speak what he saw, but the current was too strong. He saw a titan rise from Black Barrow, and then he pulled downstream 15 years to Toras Bend. There was Fi'ir, standing at a smithy, ordering his young apprentice to gather wood. Then Dorian was 100 years downstream, in Treethel, somehow magically rebuilt, celebrating something, a vast parade working through the street. Dorian fought it, tried to throw himself back to a time where his visions would help him. He found himself standing in the guts of Caliris, deciding whether to take Janine out through the sewage chutes or try to fight their way out. Everything would turn from this one choice. No, that was the past, damn it.
"Rodnia? Nidora?"
He heard the voice calling for him, but it was too distant, and he hadn't found anything yet. There was a whisper as it called again, and then it was lost. Janine drew the curtains that separated Dorian's throne, where he was quietly mumbling, from the rest of his tent.
Dorian, she whispered one more time. But the king didn't stir.
She shut the curtain and said, Come in, General Naga.
The man had been knocking for more than a minute.
Your Highness, he said, coming in and looking conspicuously at the drawn curtain.
My apologies, but we've just had a report from a spy. His Holiness must hear it.
His Holiness is not to be disturbed right now.
I'm afraid this requires immediate action.
Jeanine lifted her brows as if the general were perilously close to being rude.
Then deliver your report.
General Naga hesitated, open-mouthed, as he struggled with the idea of reporting to a woman, much less a woman young enough to be his daughter, then wisely closed his mouth. When he opened it again, it was to say,
Your Highness, our spy reports that the Cenarians and Siorans are planning to attack our supply lines at the city of Regukas. They plan to have 10,000 men sneak away tonight under cover of darkness.
The Cenarian king? Jeanine interrupted.
For an instant, General Naga seemed stricken.
Sorry, I meant the Siorin king said that we would think any torches we saw tonight were merely men moving between their campfires. In truth, such movements would only be visible to us for a short section. The Cenarian queen, your pardon, Highness, I obviously am having a slight problem adjusting to so many queens. The Cenarian queen concurred.
He swallowed, nervously. Do you trust this spy? Jeanine asked. She didn't know whether she more wanted Dorian to wake up instantly and make the decision for her, or if she feared that he might wake up with a scream as he had the last few times.
Absolutely, Your Highness.
If we wait until we see movement of torches tonight, will our men be able to get to Regukas in time to defend it? Jeanine asked.
It will be a near thing.
Then send 15,000 men now. If we don't see the torches moving tonight, we can send riders to get them to turn back.
15,000? From a defensive position, 5 should be more than adequate to defend Regukas, and would still preserve our superiority of numbers here.
He was probably right, and Jeanine would have conceded to his experience if this had been a war. But it wasn't a war. Those were her people on the other side, too. 15,000 men would be such an overwhelming defensive force that the Cenarians would call off an attack on the town as hopeless. Jeanine was saving lives on both sides. And tomorrow, they'd be able to send emissaries to the Cenarians before blood was spilled.
15,000, General. That is, unless you're still having a problem adjusting to this queen.
General Naga barely hesitated before he bobbed his head and withdrew. For an odd moment, Jeanine thought he looked relieved. As night fell, Logan and Garawashi met once more at the top of the tower, this time alone, though each had bodyguards stationed out of earshot on the stairs. They watched the line of Sa-Seer-Eye, every one bearing a torch, heading downriver. Then the kings turned, scanning the thousands of campfires dotting the plain around Black Barrow. The Caladoran army and the Highlanders stayed outside the circle around Black Barrow that was carpeted with those oddly non-decomposing bodies. They called it the Dead Domain.
Do you think it worked?
Logan asked.
One hopes a witch, not a warrior,
Garawashi said.
I think he'll believe everything his spy told him we said earlier.
In truth, Logan had sent 10,000 men west, but only until they were blocked from the Caladoran sight by the forest. Then, the men were told to extinguish their torches and make their way back to camp. Logan was sure no small amount of grumbling was going on right now. The men had no idea why they'd been sent marching in circles, and he couldn't tell them, in case more spies lurked in their ranks. Meanwhile,
Garawashi's 1,000 were continuing west. They would ford the river and come back on the opposite side as stealthily as possible. Dressed in muddied garb, they would crawl through the dead domain. When the sun rose, they would lie in the shadows and huddle next to the corpses, as if dead themselves. They would circle the long way around Black Barrow. Garawashi figured it would take them 2 nights to get into place, but then, either on his signal or when they saw the opportunity, the men would don their armor, rise from among the dead, and attack the command tents. If Mama Kay's spies were right, Jeanine was there. If not, they still might kill some of Wan Hope's generals, or even the God King himself. It was likely a suicide mission, but there had been no lack of volunteers. But the only Cenarians going were 100 of Aegon's dogs, former sneak thieves and burglars, and his witch hunters with their Imuri bows. Of course, as Aegon and Garawashi kept telling Logan, timing was everything. Those 1,000 men were among the army's best. If Wan Hope did split his forces and tomorrow went as planned, Logan and Garawashi might be close to victory. Those extra 1,000 veterans could turn a Caladoran retreat into a rout.
The Faeori scouts say that the Seorin force following us is led by the regent himself, Garawashi said quietly. I will be obliged to kill myself when he discovers I have no sword. My men will be invited to join me in suicide, or to return to Seora immediately.
How far back is he? Logan asked, his throat constricting. Now he understood why Garawashi had been so adamant that the 1,000 who snuck through the dead domain be Sa-Seorai. It was a service to Logan. Separated from command, they wouldn't know that their leader had been disgraced, so they would keep fighting.
They will arrive tomorrow night.
We can stop them in the passes, Logan said. There are narrow...
He has 20,000 Sa-Seorai. My men would wonder why we were fighting the regent who only wants to see the Blade of Heaven. Even without him, they will expect me to lead them into battle. This is my last night.
They turned as a man cleared his throat at the stairs. The man was nearly as big as Logan, not quite as tall, but wide as an ox. He carried some flab, but it was only a thin layer over rock-hard muscle.
Maybe not, my lord,
Fear said, dipping his head.
I don't suppose either of you has a big ruby.
They looked at each other, and Logan saw a thin, desperate hope in Lantano Garawashi's eyes. He knew then that this man would kill himself in a heartbeat if he needed to, but there was nothing in Lantano Garawashi that desired death.
No?
Fear asked.
Damn! Well, I hope we can find someone who's good with illusions.
The big man stepped forward and unwrapped a bundle to produce a sword.
My lord, I present you with Señor Kaelestos.